You are listening to the Effective Statistician Podcast, the weekly podcast with Alexander Schacht and Benjamin Pieske, designed to help you reach your potential, lead great science, and serve patients while having a great work-life balance. In addition to our premium courses on the Effective Statistician Academy, we also have lots of free resources for you across all kind of different topics within that academy. Head over to theeffectivestatistician.com and find the academy and much more for you to become an effective statistician. I'm producing this podcast in association with PSI, a community dedicated to leading and promoting the use of statistics within the healthcare industry for the benefit of patients. Join PSI today to further develop your statistical capabilities with access to the ever-growing video on demand content library, free registration to all PSI webinars, and much, much more. Head over to the PSI website at psiweb.org to learn more about PSI activities and become a PSI member today. Welcome to another episode of The Effective Statistician. Today, I'm talking with my good friend Alan Bedding again, which is awesome. And we talk about an absolutely fundamental topic, and that is trust. Trust is one of the things that continuously comes up in all the leadership trainings that I do, because you can't do anything without trust. You can't convince someone, you can't negotiate, nothing works if there is not at least some form of trust. Now, one of the problems around trust, actually many other forms around leadership, is how do we know whether there's good trust? Can we actually measure it? There's a saying in psychology, if you can't measure it, you can't improve it, and it's not a real concept. So today we will talk quite about the measurement of trust. So, Alan, how are you doing today?
I'm good, thank you, Alexander. It's good to be back on the podcast with yourself. Episodes myself, but it's great to be with you. It's always better. You and I have some fantastic conversations. Really looking forward to this one because trust is my little baby. It's the one thing that I believe is the backbone to effective leadership. And as you mentioned, without having a good foundation of trust, or a great foundation of trust, it's very much more difficult to be able to do all the other things we need to do as leaders. And as statisticians, or as anybody in any walk of life, it's very difficult to do things without if you're not trusted in the first place.
Yeah, trust is really important. It's important between you and your supervisor. It's important between people that work below you or that report to you, colleagues, but also with cross-functional teams, or if you work with a CRO, or if you're sitting in a CRO and you work with a client. Trust is everywhere really important. And
yeah, absolutely.
You realize that actually most if there's absence of trust. Yeah. I recently had a meeting with someone that I didn't trust at all. I didn't know his motives, what he was after, what was his goals, his interest. And especially, I had the feeling he wasn't interested in my goals. He didn't have my well-being, my accomplishment, things like that in mind. And that deteriorates trust a lot. And I felt like I'm walking on eggshells, so to say. That makes it really difficult to work.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that feeling that you're walking on eggshells is an awful feeling, because you haven't got any, I mean, use the word psychological safety, but you haven't got that safety in place. And so you can't really express how you feel or what you're feeling or what your thoughts are or what your opinions are. Yeah, that's a great metaphor, that we're walking on eggshells. Eggshells will break if we walk on them. And it's a similar sort of thing that if we don't have the trust, whatever we say is going to possibly be held against us. And one of the things that's really important, we hear organizations all the time talk about trust being really important to them. Trust is is one of the things we're really strong on. And like I say, we hear it over and over again in organizations. But the biggest thing is, if it's so important, we don't measure it. We're not measuring trust on a regular basis. The organization will say trust is really important to us. But at the end of the day, how are they quantifying that? They'll probably say we're doing employee engagement surveys and all those sorts of things. But are they really quantifying trust through those, or are they just trying to get an opinion on where they are at a particular moment in time?
Also, if you can't measure trust, how do you know that the actions you do improve the trust? You know, it's like with a clinical trial. Yeah, so if you are not clear your endpoints and whether your endpoints actually measure what you want to measure, if they're not sensitive, then it all doesn't work. Yeah. And especially in organizations, yeah, you want to continuously improve trust. You want to have certain mechanisms in place that help with trust. But if you don't know whether they work, you can't adjust them. Yeah. And also, I think one of the important things is, are you doing anything that actually deteriorates trust, so that makes it worse? My perception is very often, if you stop doing those things that make the situation worse, that can be the biggest ways to improve it. Yeah, it may not be, you know, a fancy team event or whatsoever. Yeah, stop doing the things that deteriorate trust is usually, I would guess, a much bigger way to help.
And that's a really good point, because if you're not measuring in the first place, you don't know where you are. But also, like you say, if you don't measure it, you don't know if there's something that we're doing as a leadership team that's taking away some of the trust. And I sort of just came into my head there that if the leadership team are on this trust journey and they want to measure trust, they will probably automatically start doing the things which they know are going to improve trust. And eventually, yeah, it might at the start seem a little bit clunky and they may not get terribly used to it, but over time, that's going to become a habit. So once they start forming those habits, even at the start, if it feels clunky and feels very awkward, over time, that's going to feel much more authentic to them, and they can bring their own authenticity to that way of building trust. And therefore, over time, it's going to build up into a habit where they don't even have to think about it. It just becomes naturally them.
I think it's also very important from a kind of KPI goal setting perspective. If you measure trust and you can see that improves, that's for me a lead measure that helps you to understand what will happen later. So I love this concept of lead and lag measures. Lead measures are things that you can directly influence. If you do certain things, then you improve trust. Lag measures is something that you can't directly influence, like retention or how people show up at work, how financial outcomes, things like that. Yeah? That is much more difficult to directly influence. But trust is a little bit more earlier in the overall pipeline. For me, also, it underlines this concept of the service value chain. The service value chain has basically three steps. Leadership takes care of the people, of the employees. The employees take care of the client, however you define them. And the client takes care of the results. Yeah, these three steps. And the leadership taking care of the employees, there is where trust plays a huge role first. And then, of course, employees taking care of clients is the kind of outwards facing trust.
And I want to go back a step a minute, because you mentioned about things like retention and all of those aspects. There was a paper published in the Harvard Business Review in 2017 by Paul Zak, that said that essentially if you can measure trust and you can see an improvement in trust, you get less stress, you get less sick days, you get more productivity, more engagement, and more, most importantly at all, it improves retention. I can't remember the numbers off the top of my head, but I know there's a measure on retention that comes with that improvement in trust. High trust societies have so much more retention because it makes sense. If you trust your organization, you trust your leadership team, then you are going to want to stay at that company. Whereas if you don't have trust in the leadership team, the organization, then you're not necessarily going to want to stay at that organization.
Yep. So how can we measure trust? What are the steps there?
I'm going to talk a little about the Leadership Trust Index, which my good friend, Dr. John Blakey, developed as part of his doctorate. His doctorate was in trust. And quite recently, late last year, he had an article published in the Harvard Business Review entitled, "If Trust is So Important, Why Aren't We Measuring It?" And it's a really good paper to introduce the Leadership Trust Index. And there's two parts of the Leadership Trust Index. There's also the Organizational Trust Index. So the Organizational Trust Index is saying how much is the organization trusted. The Leadership Trust Index is saying how trusted is a leadership team. And like I say, it was developed by John. But not only that, he's then used it in some quite large organizations like Arsenal Football Club, MoneyCorp, the NHS, all in UK-based companies, but also global-based companies, to create a benchmark of trust against what organizations can be measured to. Now, the benchmark in itself is not perfect, and what we encourage is that the Leadership Trust Index is measured at the start of an engagement, then at halfway, and then at the end of the engagement. So you can measure it from a longitudinal perspective. And using this, you get numbers which then relate to the 9 habits of trust, which I've talked about before. And you can then see, where are we lacking as a leadership team in those 9 habits of trust? Now, the importance of both the OTI and the LTI is, if the LTI is low but the OTI is high, it's basically saying your organization is highly trusted but your leadership team isn't. And over time, that can bring the organizational trust down. The flip side of that is, if your organizational trust index is low and your leadership trust index is high, it should bring your organizational trust up to a better extent. So the LTI is a validated metric. And quite recently on our PSI leadership course, we gave people a chance to play with it for themselves to get their own numbers. And then they can explore, where do they need to improve their trust score?
So how does it work? Is it every person in the organization fills it out, or is it just people that report directly to the leadership teams that is about to be evaluated, so to say?
It's a great question. The best way is to send it out to the whole organization. Now, surveys don't necessarily get filled out by the whole organization. But when we send this out, we aim for, and I say we, I'm working with the Coaching Circle and John Blakey on this whole, rolling this aspect into other organizations. So what we do is you'll send it out to the whole organization, hoping for around 70% response rate. You and I are statisticians. We know that surveys come into your inbox and they don't get filled out, and people will guess at those surveys. If you get a 70% response rate, it's pretty good. And that is also broken down by parts of the organization, which we don't necessarily share with the individual leadership team, because if the sample size is small in a particular part of the organization, they can guess who that is. I mean, you want to keep it as anonymous as possible. The survey itself is a series of 18, it's 3 per habit, so 27, probably 20, it's 28 if you include the qualitative collection of data as well. There's also obviously a question there, which is a qualitative question asking, is there anything else that can improve our trust? And then we aggregate it when we can produce distributions of the data to show the leadership team. And the scale is a 1 to 7 scale, with 7 being the pinnacle and 1 being low. And what you're probably looking for is more of around a 4.5 to 5 at the start, which you want to get to closer to 6 or 7. 7 is probably unattainable, because if you think about it, every question would have to be answered as a 7 by everybody. And I think that would be unrealistic in any organization. So what you're probably looking for is more of a number around the 5.5, 6 to be a really good score.
Yeah. I think there's a couple of things you can do to improve the response by helping people to understand this is really important, that it actually matters. I also think that if people after the first round see that management actually does something about it and there's actually a change, then that encourages people to fill it out next time. When I worked at Lilly, there was always a yearly corporate evaluation questionnaire. And one of the questions was, is leadership acting on the findings? And I think that's a really interesting question in itself, because if that is answered no, then why should you care to fill it out? So, yeah, if those that will actually drive change shows that they want to listen, that they're really interested, that they really care, then I think you'll get a better response number. If you don't get a good response number, then that in itself is probably a finding. And then maybe you want, your first step is not to get your score up, but to get your response up.
Yeah, absolutely. Just going to make a couple of points on that, because working with an organization at the moment, their first survey, the response rate was 30%. And my first question was, what's going on here? Because like you say, that missing data, it's missing data effectively, that could be informative in itself, in the fact that people are not filling those surveys out. So the organization are looking into how can we improve that going forward. And you made the exact point we made as well, which is that if the organization sees the leadership team talking a lot about trust and saying about trust, and we've already rolled this out and told the whole organization, this is where the leadership team are going. And the leadership team in themselves have been evangelizing this whole trust aspect. But if the organization then see the leadership team acting on the measures and becoming a little bit more responsive to what they're seeing, then that hits the habit of delivering. So if they're seeing something, they're delivering against, that's going to improve not only the trust, but also hopefully the response rate. Particularly if somebody's filled it out or they haven't filled it out, for example, and they see, okay, these people are really acting on this. I'm going to make sure now that I fill it out. So when we go forward, leadership continue to act on this, and I'm going to continue to hold the leadership to account.
Yeah. And that is where real trust comes from, not from talking, but from doing. Yeah. I mentioned that again and again in my leadership courses. The most powerful way of communicating and in terms of sending information is acting, doing. Yeah. So people see, he is actually really doing these things. He's not just talking about it, he's really doing it. Yeah, especially when push comes to shove. Yeah, that's where trust comes.
Great point. And you know, that's the habit of delivery. And I always talk, when I talk about the 9 habits, if you can't deliver as a leader, then you're less likely to be trusted. I'm not saying you're not going to be trusted, but you're less likely to be trusted. But it's not just delivering, it's delivering on your promises. So if you make a promise, make sure you deliver on it. But also make sure you're consistent in that delivery as well. If you deliver for 99% of the time, and then that 1% time you don't deliver, that's the point that people remember. And that's what we're seeing when we look at, it's interesting when you look at the qualitative messages that are coming through, which often tell you where the organization really should be. Communication's a really important one. That's one thing that that I've seen consistently as a theme coming through in the qualitative stuff, that the organization is not communicating. And again, I think that's due to delivery. There's a lot of delivery in there, in that they want to deliver a message. But there's also a little bit there about being humble, it's about evangelizing. What's the leadership team's mission, and evangelizing that mission? So that's a big topic in itself, but I also think it's a really important one when we link trust to it.
Yeah. And I think we need to have another episode about these 9 habits that you are talking about that all kind of form together this overall index in terms of trust. Yeah. So I usually have...
Absolutely.
Yeah. I usually talk in terms of trust, just in terms of the 3 C's, character, care, and competence. You need to have good character, and that needs to come through. You need to show that you care for the other person. And of course, in terms of the actual task, you need to have competence. And here it's all about perception. Yeah, it's not what you think, it's about what the other person thinks in terms of competence, care, and character. And I have a couple of episodes, so if you just scroll back and find these trust episodes, I go much deeper into these 3 things.
Absolutely. And I think I'm pretty sure I talked about the 9 habits of trust in one of the Friday episodes. But in terms of your 3 C's, you've got competence, I have ability. You've got character, I have integrity. You've got caring, I have benevolence. They map so nicely. So your 3 C's map. They're not mine, but they're John Blakey's habit equation of ability multiplied by integrity, multiplied by benevolence. And I would argue that your 3 C's are similar. They're competence multiplied by character, multiplied by caring.
Exactly.
So if you're 0 in any one of those, your trustworthiness is 0.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly the case. And my point is, the care is usually the one that you can most easily move. Yeah. Competence usually takes some time to build up. Character is super hard, but the care one, that is really important.
And the character one's an interesting one, because the character one is all about being open, being honest. And one of the things we talk about is being humble. So that humility in there as well. And you mentioned the care. Yes, care is easy. It's not easy, but it is. One easy thing is if somebody does a good job, to thank them for that good job.
Yeah.
Just a thank you. And that can go an awful long way.
Or in a one-to-one, just to listen. Yeah, just to listen for what your direct report, yeah, your client, your colleague, what they actually have on their mind, on their heart. Yeah. Just show interest and try to understand where they are coming from. What are their pain points? What are their goals? Shouldn't be that hard.
That's a great one. Shouldn't be that hard. And all leaders out there that are listening to this, be that person, be that leader that doesn't go into a one-to-one with your own agenda, that listens to the other person's agenda and truly listens, not listening to make your own question or formulate your own question, but listen and just use your intuition as to what your next question should be. It will come.
Yeah. Yeah. And listen doesn't mean you stay silent. You can ask questions. Yeah, for sure.
And active listening often is the activity that's going on in your brain. So yeah, they completely agree.
Yeah. So in terms of implementing this trust index, how can people learn more about it, and what can they do so that maybe in their company they have a suggestion of doing this? Smaller companies probably gets more easier, and bigger companies maybe need to talk to HR to run. Where can they find out more other than going through the links in my show notes?
I think that's probably the starting point, actually, is if they want to put a trust program in place in the organization, the best person to contact is myself, and I can then talk to them about how we can best roll out. Because to me, it's not just a case of measuring it. You mentioned it earlier on. People in the organization need to know that the organization's on a journey of trust. Measuring it is just one step. There's got to be action that's got to be taken. So what we do in the coaching circle is we have a trust executive workshop for the senior leadership team to get them rolling on the trust in the first place. Mm-hmm. Then we roll out the trust, the Leadership Trust Index. And then in between the measurements, we then coach them on the habits that their lowest numbers are. We've got workshops on each of those habits. And we work with the leadership team, but not just the senior leadership team. We'll also work with the leaders at the next level. So working with them on this whole journey of trust. That's where we've noticed this has worked in the past. So, for example, for Arsenal Football Club, that was John working with the very senior leadership team. That was a whole trust program that was rolled out for the very senior leaders, but also the leadership further down the line as well. And that really does work. That and what you over time is an improvement in their trust. And obviously then the lag measures that come with that, the retention, the productivity, all of those aspects.
Was Klopp manager at the time? I'm just curious.
He was Liverpool, don't forget. Klopp was Liverpool. This was Arsenal, wasn't it?
Ah, Klopp was Liverpool. Ah, okay.
This was, I think it was about 18 months ago.
Very good.
So interestingly, in those 18 months, they've gone from where they were to their top of the league at the moment. So it's an interesting direction. And if they win the league, that there's always, is that measure in itself?
There's nothing as measurable and direct impact as in sports and in professional sports like football. Thanks so much. That was a really great discussion about trust, which is absolutely the fundament. And now there's also a way to quantify it. And there's ways to improve it, to do specific things about it. If you work on the organization level, reach out to Alan. If you want to improve as an individual your leadership skills, you can, of course, also reach out to Alan, but also reach out to me, and we can help you there.
Yeah, absolutely. And this has been a great conversation. As always, we always have fantastic conversations. As Alexander said, if you want to know more from an organizational level about trust, and measuring trust and improving your trust, then reach out to either of us for general leadership skill. Brilliant. Thank you very much.
This show was created in association with PSI. Thanks to Rain and her team at PVS. With the show in the background, and thank you for listening. Reach your potential, lead great science, and solve issues. Just be an effective statistician.